Speaking of Rabbi Kivayger, Rabbi Kivayger brought in his writings a very special brilliance. A very special brilliance. He was a combination in Kol HaTorah Kula of two things. He was extremely gifted in understanding all the connections in the Gemara. Like what followed mathematically, step by step by step by step by step, what exactly had to be. An extremely keen eye for that. And it was a very lucid commentary on the driving lumdus of the Gemara. So we combine both of those things together, lends itself to a very special clarity. That's the Chiddush of Kivayger, where he has, among all the Achronim, probably the foremost place in yeshivas is Rabbi Kivayger, number one. And Rabbi Kivayger locks in on something which is, from the outset, quite mysterious. And in his fashion, he illuminates it brilliantly. So let's make two observations. We have, first of all, we have a bracha of Hamaitzi that we make. We have a bracha of Barim Minim Mezainis. Now, Barim Minim Mezainis comes in reality for two different types of situations. Let's leave rice out of the equation, but rice really fits into the second one anyhow. Right, so we have times that we make Mezainis on things which were similar to pas, cakes, etc. We have times that we make mezainis and things which are totally dissimilar to pas. We'll see there's significant halachic implications of this. But they're Zion, Nez and Zion, they are staples. Until the Second World War, throughout most of human history and on Jewish history also, the major source, the staff of life, was bread. And Mir Yeshiva, the yeshiva was relatively a wealthy yeshiva of the yeshivas in Europe, and they gave her a nice chalukah to the bochum in yeshiva, but the biggest part of the chalukah was bread. You know, they had other things, they had eggs, this, and but bread was the main thing. Bread is what you lived on. It's mezon zayin. It satiates a person, it sustains him. So we have things which are zayin, which are not bread, pasta. It's no connection to bread, but it serves a very similar function. Now what we have is the following. We have, you know, that if we take a mezainis, a cake, and we use it as the mainstay of a seudah, we recite Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. So the question is, why does that halacha exist? Suppose I came home today, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and what I wanted to eat is, I ate 10 apples. That's what I ate. That was my lunch, 10 apples today. And with 10 apples, I'm stuffed till the gills, I can't even look at food till 10 o'clock at night. So, and a whole suit of apples. Is there anyone that suggests that I should say, I'm going to eat lechem and aretz on the apples? Everyone understands, apple is bera priyates. Eat 100 apples, still bera priyates. So why suddenly, if I eat a whole bunch of cake, that the bracha can become Hamaitzi Lechem Min Haaretz? What's the sense of it? If you tell me that every time that I eat a meal, I have to make Hamaitzi, and no matter what, fine, but that's clearly not the case. So if it's clearly not the case, so why is it that in the case of cake, it is the case? A very simple and straightforward and obvious question. And it really takes the genius of Rabbi Kivayger, and the Shulchan Aruch. The Siman Kuf Samaches jumps right on this issue, and he casts his light on it, and he illuminates it. So let's make step number one. Step number one is what's obvious in the Gemara in Ketz and Mevorchim. We talk about pas. Now pas happens to be, the way we use the word pas is not in the strict meaning of pas in Hebrew. We use pas to mean bread. But pas in the Chumash doesn't mean bread. It says ve'ekcho pas lechem. So it clearly doesn't mean bread. What does pas mean? So the between the Tzion and Yeshua, that you also have the word associates it with the word pieces. Posois eso pitin. When you have like the menachos, you break them up into pieces. So pas lechem means a piece of bread. So piece is apparently a word that's rooted in Hebrew and Lashon Kodesh all the way back to the Torah. Pas, piece. But in the vernacular, pas is used to mean bread. Now the Shas classifies in Ketz and Mevorchim those things which are mezainis, cakes, also classifies them as pas. They're also pas. Pasta is not pas. What makes something pas? Pas is a certain physical format. There's a doughy substance to a bread. There's a doughy substance to a cake. Pasta doesn't have that doughy substance. It's a different mitzvah. So that doughy format gives something the same pas. So now comes Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger brilliantly illuminates our question. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says the following, that why don't we make hamotzi on a cake, piece of cake? It's also pas. So how come they instituted hamotzi lechem and aretz for a piece of bread, then hamotzi min hamezainis for a piece of cake? He says the question is its orientation. Pas, a person eats to satisfy his hunger, principally. And cake, you eat as a snack. So for a snack, they didn't make the brocha hamotzi lechem and aretz. They made the brocha hamotzi min hamezainis. But if I take that cake, and now I make it the mainstay of a seudah now, so it is pas. And the sole reason I didn't make hamotzi on it, because it wasn't for a seudah. But now that I'm using it for a seudah, so do I make hamotzi lechem and aretz? The whole reason that I didn't is because it wasn't oriented to a seudah. This is Rabbi Akiva Eiger, brilliant observation.
What's the reason for a snack? It's not satiation, just pleasure?
It's not the main purpose of a meal. So in a meal, they made hamotzi lechem and aretz.
Don't people routinely eat, let's say, a Danish for breakfast?
So there is a question. When you eat a Danish, when you eat a Danish for breakfast, there's machlekes about it. There are some poskim that'll tell you have to make a mitzi on it. Ani Akotin disagree with them, based on a halacha hilchasukah on an Aruch L'Ner, but that's not for now. The question is a very apt question. And the Rabbanim living and breathing today, that would tell you, yeah, you have to make a mitzi on it. So you're not off mark in your observation. So we have now, this has many, many implications, the fact that I could conceivably make hamotzi on it. If I'm going to use it for a meal, so all of a sudden I have to wash on it till it's yadayim. I have to make hamotzi. I have to recite Birchas Hamazon. All of this suddenly clicks into place. No, but there's another very interesting manifestation. You come home on Shabbos, and you have one challah. You don't even have a piece of anything else. But you have a cupcake or a cookie. Can you use that for the Lecha Mishnah, the second one? So the Machatz HaShekel writes in Shulchan Aruch that a challah and a cookie can't be Lecha Mishnah. Why? Because the cookie is not an Indian of Kviya Suda, not Kaveya Suda on it. But let's say I had no challah, and all I'm going to be Kaveya Suda on cookies, on cupcakes. So then he says I can take two cupcakes and Yom Yisalecha Mishnah. So it has the fact that it's oriented to a Suda, has many, many halachas that come along with it. Now, that's why a person could eat a boxcar full of pasta and he'll never recite hamotzi. Because pasta is not pas. A mezainis it has, but mezainis goes on pas and on non-pas. Pasta is non-pas. What's this, Rabbi Nachum? What's this? Oh, I thought you had a question. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
What happens on Shalosh Shud? Is that fitting into the category of a meal that's preferable even for a?
I'm not sure what your question. Please amplify your question.
Okay. If you decide you're only going to eat two slices of cake for Shalosh Shud, are you going to make a motzi over it?
No, you would not make a motzi on it. We'll see why. Maybe as we get.
You said you could convey a mesuda.
Yes, but
on cake.
Yes, it could be, but to what? Puts it in, there's a difference. If you take the tiniest piece of bread, I take a crumb of bread, what bracha do I make? When I convey a suda on cake, it's the kfiyas of the suda which gives it its status as hamotzi. And the kfiyas suda has a shir. Now we can be yetzi shalosh shudas without pas b'diavad. Baruch HaShulchan is very, very strong in Sefer Reish Tzadik Aleph not to do that. But you can be yotzi b'diavad without pas. But to have it be a kfiya suda is a question of certain shear.
What would be the shear?
Well, come. We'll get there. Let's wait. We're gonna get out of order if we do that now. So this is the starting point at this pas. Now the pas that we use for the sake of snacking, we call possible bekisnan in the language of the Shas. Now the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Samaches Siv Zayin brings three possibilities of what possible bekisnan is. Now it's a little hard to understand the terminology of possible bekisnan. We'll see. There is a first. Let's look at the three pshatim, and then we'll come back. Depending on a certain machlokes, it's one way it's easy to answer the kasha, one way it's elusive. Shita number one in the Shulchan Aruch is pasav b'kisnan is very simply as a pie. It's a packet of dough. The dough being a bread dough. This is very, very important to remember. It's a bread dough, it's a flour and water dough. It's not one of our typical cake doughs, you know, made with shortening and juice. It's a bread dough, and you put a filling into it, blueberries, cherries, apples, and you bake it. And that is Bura Minim Mezedis. Okay, so that clearly we understand why that's called Pasa Bobi Kisna. It's a pocket, and it holds something in it. Matoy V'manon. Shita number two. And this is subject, Shita number two is subject to a major machlokes of the Mechaber and the Ramah, and in practice between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. According to the Sfardim, if you have flavoring in a challah or a bread, it becomes possible to kiss them. So if you put eggs or sugar into it, you make a mezainis on it. So that's why I learned, Baruch Hashem, I've had many, many Sfardish Talmidim over the years, and particularly, I've had many from many different edot, but the Syrians tend to have a very stark Masiris of what their, you know, their Shitas are with their Abonim. They have learned people, more so than many others. Their Masiris is very strong. And so from my Syrian Talmidim, I learned that they use water chalas on Shabbos. They don't use our regular chalas. On our chalas, they make mezainis. That's the Pesach of the Mechaber. Now, hypothetically, yeah, it could be Koveya Suda and get involved, but who knows what all the Sfardish Shitas and that are. That's a very complicated halacha. So we wouldn't decide we're using blueberry cake, you know, instead of challah that's coming Shabbos. You know, it's not the way we do things. And we sit down for Suda Shabbos, we bring a challah, not a blueberry cake. Even though hypothetically it could be eaten with a blueberry cake. So from that standpoint, that challah is no different than a blueberry cake. So they use water challahs. Kumtzig hein the Ramah. And the Ramah says, we Ashkenazim have a different view. And that is, he says, it has to be a very, very strong flavor of sugar, eggs, oil, etc., flavorings. Then it becomes in the dough. Then it becomes mezainis. But if it's a minor flavoring, you know, you put some sugar into it, egg into it, that doesn't change its status. Now, the way the Chofetz Chaim looks at it, it's a quantitative issue. That what is giving most of the flavor together in the flour? Is the major mixing is with water or with the other ingredients? So the other ingredients have to be greater in mass than the water, according to the Chofetz Chaim. It's to be the roif. The Aruch HaShulchan suggests that it's not necessarily a quantitative, it could be a qualitative measure too. In other words, if you put in ingredients that are very strong and sharp ingredients, so maybe even if they are, if you in terms of the volume, are less than the roif, but the impact is that that's what has the impact on the major flavor. It doesn't taste like a challah anymore, it tastes like something else. So that is a bar minhag mezainos. It's number two. Now, if we ask ourselves, how do we apply the nomenclature of possible bekistin to this? So we're going to be left scratching our head. So let's first finish, and then we'll come back. And there are two mahalchim, and one mahalach works, and one mahalach will leave as a tzarchian right now. Then there's approach number three in the Shulchan. This is all in Siman Kuf Samaches, Siman Zayin. There's approach number three. Approach number three says that thin, hard crackers, again, made of flour and water, are mezainus. Why were they mezainus? Because that's not what people ate for a meal. You didn't eat thin, hard crackers. You would eat a piece of bread that's soft. A thin, hard cracker you ate for a snack, not as a mainstay of a meal. So that was also mezainus. Now, there's another historical divide between Sfardim and Ashkenazim in Shita number three. And in Iraq, they didn't have Bimana Shevitz, Horowitz, and Streitz. So in Iraq, in the Sephardic countries, matzah was for Pesach. And on Pesach, they make a moitzi on a piece of matzah. The rest of the year, if they happen to have, if they come and dig up a piece of matzah someplace, they make a mezainus on it. Why? Because in their community, other than on Pesach, it's not used for Kfiyas Suda. You don't use this for a Suda. That's it. It's a strange cracker. The Vilna Goyen would have been happy here. The Vilna Goyen ate matzah on Pesach, and once Pesach ended, he would not eat matzah anymore. He says this is something that he eats only the Shem Mitzvah. It's not the Shem Mitzvah, he's not eating it. So the Goyen did not, from Motzi Pesach till next year Pesach, did not touch matzah. But so, why do we in fact make a moitzi on it? Because it became normal to be Koveya Suda, to use matzah in the way that people use bread. And therefore, for us, a matzah is not a snack food anymore. It's not like a cracker. A matzah is, we use in place of bread. People make sandwiches with it, etc. So in the Ashkenazi community, we make only tilis adayim and amitzi. And if you go to a Sephardish place, they take a piece and they make bara minhag mezainos.
By the Ashkenazi, is it just probably in the size, meaning you can make crackers that are...
There are those that want to say that if you make them cracker size, but you call it to be used as a cracker, then there are a number of poiskim. I believe Ramesha Feinstein's Atzal and Rosh Lom Zalman have both said that you would make them as, if they were made to be used as crackers and not as matzah, even though the composition is the same, so they held that the bracha would be mezainos. So depending how you use them. So these are the three sheets that we have. That is if, yes?
Didn't Sephardi matzah much thicker than...
That's a certain type of Sephardi matzah. Not all the communities use it. It's less and less in vogue. I think the Syrians, I think, still have such type of matzahs. They have, you could say they're thicker matzahs, you know. You remind me, I was in Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember which year it was. It was either 1969 or 1973, I don't remember at this point. And I was on the bus like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Erev Pesach, coming from town back to the yeshiva. And we passed by the area, the two buses used to pass there, Mir Yeshiva in those days. So we're coming near Mir Yeshiva. There must have been some Sephardish bakery there, and this guy gets on, a Sephardish guy gets on. And he has his three pitas. He's holding them, you know, across from one forearm to the other like this. And he has it. That's his matzah mitzvah. And he's getting on the bus and going home for the Seder with three pitas, you know.
if the daf can make them thicker so they don't, so it doesn't fall on the...
No, I don't know. I don't know the reason. Listen, I can't tell you the reason for it. Maybe it's more the teyobin for them. Maybe that's the reason. The Gemara says in Psochem that you can make a matzah up to a tefach thick. It's a Gemara Mufereshes. So if they want to take the most machmer the kashita vis-a-vis this halacha, it would mean that you can make it up to 3 inches thick. Elamai, we in the Ashkenazi community, it's probably approximately 200 years time, something like that, that we stopped doing such things. Because you have to really be on top of your game to bake matzahs like that. It's very easy. You can sometimes open up a piece of bread and you get an air bubble in the middle, and then you see this rawish dough around it. It didn't bake out properly, or you didn't mix it properly. So the thinner it is, the more likely it is that it's going to bake out properly. So the Ashkenazim for about 200 years, approximately, have been making these type of matzahs. You know, the... Maybe a little more than that. There were clearly, I mean, Sephardic communities that must have been making these type of matzahs as well. Because, no, I shouldn't say, whatever. They're one of the devices that's used in matzah bakeries was founded a Sephardic kehila too. But it's in the mukhra, not mukhra, you can make thicker matzahs with that also. So that's where we made a major shift away. And the Sephardim remained with them a service. But I guess it's less and less by them. I don't think that it's, you know, in contemporary times, they're so into the thick matzahs anymore. So now, the shayla is like this. The Achrenim have a shayla. These three views in the Shulchan Aruch are complementary, or they are in disagreement with each other in root. Now, if we take them as complementary, meaning that means to say that all of these Rishayim agree with each other. Just these are three different examples of pas, which was not used for a suda. Now, if we take that particular approach, then we could understand what that shas refers to as possible bikisnan. That's one example. Shas didn't... The Gemara has an expression, otu kiruchle. Is the Tana, is the Amira, is he like a perfume salesman? You know, the door-to-door salesman. You know, if you remember the Fuller Brush, you know, it's from when we were kids, you know. And 17,000 things that he's selling, you know. He comes to your door and he tells you, you know, maybe one of them you want. So the Gemara says, Otu Kiruchle, what do you think? The Tana is like a door-to-door peddler that he tells you, oh, yes, to spell everything out in explicit detail. So, if we learn there's no machlaikas, so good. So, possible bikisnim was one example, and that illuminated the klal. The klal is that it's a pas which is not intended for kfiya suda. And Ramayla, anything else that you could define that fits into that category is also fine. That would work. There was a view that says, this is achrayna shishayla. The Chofetz Chaim, I think, even alludes to it, the Bir Halacha. Is it achrayna shishayla that says maybe there's a machlaikas here? That these are really three different views, and they are not in agreement with each other. So if they're not in agreement, how do they all wind up in the Shulchan Aruch? So the Shulchan Aruch, misofik, was machriya to make mezainis, meaning to say, I believe, if you made hamoitzi on a piece of cake, l'chari, you wouldn't be yoitzi. But if you mezainis, is a wonderful bracha. There are two brachas which you can't go wrong with, and that's mezainis and shahakal. If you make one of those two brachas on any food item, you yoytze. The difference between them is one thing. A shahakal you can make in any drink too, and mezainis does not apply to drinks. Right? That's a general klal. Right? That's what Tosfos says in Ketz and Revorchim. Why do you make shahakal on beer, why don't you make mezainis? Because in drink form, doesn't the bracha mezainis doesn't apply. Otherwise, we should make... There are other reasons, too, but this is one reason that Taisu says. So, therefore, the Shulchan Aruch opted, listen, make mezainis, but mezainis is certainly yoytze. So that's it. So what's the problem, he said. Now, so the shayla that I had is the following. It does get a little bit tricky, two times over, and I can't really... I realized I answered it today on one side, but there's another side that you get into. It's a very interesting shayla, which is the following. So I tied it that how could it be misofik? Naniach the brocha achrayna you took care of. Let's examine the brocha rishayna. Let's examine the brocha achrayna. So you tell me, well, brochas, a brocha at the beginning, a brocha rishayna is midrabana. So I can say sofik brochas lahokal. So all bar minim is certainly yaitse. Right? But brocha achrayna starts to touch a deraisa. So good, if it's not mezainas and it's passed, I have to bench on it. So how did the Shulchan Aruch blithely tell me, according to that, go make mezainas? Very nice. So what's going to happen to the birchas hamazon at the end? So to that I realized the answer is fine. The answer is, because if you convey a suda on it, so then you have to recite birchas hamazon. So that's the, if I wasn't convey a suda on it, so, if you're not kovei a suda on pas, meaning to say you just had a little bit of pas, if you didn't need kidei svia, so you wouldn't, then the brichas hamazon is midor, the way we paskin, it's a shayla, but the way we paskin, and the Shulchan Aruch could paskin that way, there's no steer on the Shulchan Aruch to it, that arakizayis is midor abonim, right? There are shitas that paskin like Ramei or whatever in the Gemara, that you get arakizayis, is a shayla and rishayin about a paskin. That even a kezias is deraisa. When we pass in svi is deraisa, so mameila there wouldn't be a problem of brocha achrayna because vaita if it's a begeder of sofik brochas so good so mameila so you won't recite the brichas hamazon but there's still a kasha left. I'll come back to another kasha in a moment. So but if there's a kviya suda you have to recite brichas hamazon anyhow. So you don't get it messed up with brichas hamazon. That's what I did earlier today. But now I have a new kasha. So what brocha achrayna do you recite and all of these things? So the Shulchan Aruch is clear. You recite alamichya, right? You said you make mezainas. The Shulchan Aruch didn't turn around to tell me, you know, to recite birchas hamazon afterwards. So now I want to know the following. Suppose l'maisa, it is pas. And I ate a kezayis of pas. So good, midrabbonon, what do I have to recite? Birchas hamazon. But I'm reciting alamichya. So now what's happening? How does that work? Oh, so now we come to another shayla, and that's what I'm saying. It must be that those achronim hold on one side of that shayla. That's what must come out from this, even though it's fakert from the Ritva. The shayla is like this. The shayla is, what happens if I was supposed to bench? And instead of benching, I recited ala michya ma yitzayanat al the shayla. So, because... So, and especially if Alamichas Docha the Raisa Dika Brocha going to Self Mashayim. So the Ritva on Hilchas Brochas at the back of Masechta Brochas is a safer on Hilchas Brochas from the Ritva. So the Ritva writes that if I recited Alamichya instead of Birchas Hamazon, I'm not Yaitze. But so we'll have to assume that the Achrayim that want to learn that the Shulchan Aruch this way, that they hold that if I recited Alamichya, instead of Birchas Hamazon, I'm Yaitze B'diyavad. Is Mameila, so this is a good Mahalach. You know, I don't have to recite four brochas, which could be a Shaila of a Brocha Levatola. So I recite one Brocha, so Monoshach. If I'm supposed to make Alamichya, I'm Yaitze. If I'm supposed to recite Birchas Hamazon B'diyavad, I'm also Yaitze. So I'll take a Waldik. So the Chayro, it'll be Muchrach from those Achrayim that they must hold that if you made Alamichya instead of Birchas Hamazon, that you were Yaitze. Okay. Not a terrible thought. But that's l'chayra what comes out when we put them under the scope and we start to look at them carefully. A nice chiddush.
What does that mean? I'm going to eat half of the cake.
Well, no, I'm not dealing. If you eat a half a cake, so anyhow, you're going to have to make a
and
you'll have to recite birchas hamazon. So there's no. So that is no problem.
Volume.
What?
Does it depend on volume? How much volume?
Everything is dependent. All the shiurim and the Torah, the way we paskin, bottom line, there are some Sfaradish Achronim that say otherwise, but basically, even among the Sfaradish Achronim, Nimnu v'gomru, all shiurim are volume. Everything is volume. Oh.
So, I'm going to have to make a motion.
Yeah.
And
wash on until this is
and bench.
Yes.
So, what was the Rub's case?
No one does it.
Which?
Your last case that you just spoke about.
No, a guy ate a kazayas, let's say, of cake.
Oh.
So good. So some sheet is, according to the view that the...
Just the kazayas.
Yes. So according to the view that the deis and the Shulchan Aruch really are mahava machlekes with each other, that means according to view number one and view number three, a regular piece of cake, according to that, is mechuyev and to make hamotzi. So then you'd have to bench afterwards. So I wanted to know why the Shulchan Aruch didn't get messed up with benching. So I said, if you're going to eat a shir kviya sudi, you have to bench any of it. If you don't eat a shir kviya sudi, then had a new kasha. So, but you're supposed to be saying, how are you saying alamichya? So it must be that those achronim hold that if you say alamichya, you're yaitzi b'di yavet. So amela, there's no kula that comes out from it. It's purely a chumra.
Are the terms kidei sudi and kviya sudi interchangeable?
In a certain regard, but not exactly. Okay, we'll see what that means. Why? Svia means eat a full meal's worth, whatever's normal to eat at a full. It doesn't mean you have to eat like a chasana, you know, that you packed it in, you know, a yontif meal. No, it means a normal meal that a person eats for dinner. That's svia. What I don't want to get lost or sidetracked now. Maybe next week we'll come back to it. But in all the cases where you're going to recite Birchas Hamazon, there's a sviya aspect to it. Whether the sviya comes from the Passover Bekistin itself, Rav Moshe Zatzal wrote something else. Rav Moshe said, let's say you took a kezias of Passover Bekistin. But together with that Passover Bekistin, you ate meat and you ate potatoes and you ate vegetables. And when you finish, it's all Kadei Sviya. He says you have to make Hamotzi there too. The Sviya doesn't have to come dafka from the Passover Bekistin. Okay, that's another aspect to this.
First, if you eat not so much cake at
the
kiddush, it's still
running. Oh, yeah, Nachanami. Listen, look in the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan is very vociferous about this problem. You know.
And that's what Ramosha Lamaisa would say, that if you have a bowl of chalent and a piece of cake and some fruit at a kiddush.
So that's why I tell people the only eitzah that I found for this, it's a chiddush, but I think it should work. And I'll tell you why in a moment. Let's say you want to be yoytzeh kiddush b'mokum suda. So you take a piece of cake. If a person has in mind after that he's not going to eat any more cake, then you talk and that there's not shayach kviya suda together with it. There is a rajba. This is a whole tumult with Shabbos Erev Pesach. They struggle with this. There's a rajba. The rajba says that if you misalak yodav min apas, that from that point on you have to make a new bracha rishon and everything else. So one of the reasons, I have two reasons. Well, one of the reasons from Shabbos is Erev Pesach, we eat egg matzah by the suda, maybe. We wash on the porch, and we machta moitzi, and a kazayis, and after that, but the actual suda itself, we eat egg matzahs. And I have two reasons for that. Reason number one is my masiris is to be mekel. My father, Olav HaShalom, asked Rav Lezer Silva. He knew Rav Lezer Silva. He asked Rav Lezer Silva Zatzal. Rav Lezer Silva Zatzal told him it's mutter to eat egg matzahs Erev Pesach. And that's the way my father was knowing his whole life, and my brothers. So normally I don't bother with it, but for Shabbos Erev Pesach, for the Suda, that's what I do. That's number one. And Aruch HaShulchan also writes that it's mutter. So that's number one. The second reason, as I have, is because I don't want to get involved in this problem. If you eat pas, and this is, there can't be a bigger silak yodav min a pas, because usually what happens, when did you wash? You wash close to this month. So then you finished eating. So after that, you're not going to, you don't have any more lechem, you threw out the lechem, you makpid not to have lechem, it's going to be after this month. So what shayach a bigger silak yodav min a pas than Shabbos Erev Pesach? So then I'm going to be stuck with a shayla. Do I have to make a new bracha rishon on everything that I eat because it's no longer bottled to the pas? But if I use the egg matzah, and that's a chelik of the kfiya suda, so I'm soymich on that. Those are my two reasons that I have. I'll call upon him. So that's the idea that I have, that if a person ate a piece of cake and then you said, that's an ad kan, I'm not eating any more cake, that it could be that breaks the kfiya. That's an idea that I have.
You have to make a new mezonos on something that is like pasta?
No. No, I'm just a masalak yodah ben a pas. That's all. I'm not eating any more pas. If what?
The new foods.
If what?
If let's say he had pas and masalak
yodah. Yeah, but here I had in mind at the beginning. There I didn't make a bracha. I only made hamoitzi, and the hamoitzi ended. Here I made a beramin and mezainis lamoshel. So the mezainis is also, I had in mind the chaland also. It's a different to have a direct bracha on it. It's not, normally when you eat pas, you don't make a bracha on anything else. It's subsumed under the hamoitzi. Now we come to Siman Yud Zayin. The terminology, the use of the terminology apparently has changed over the course of time. And the modern Ivrit apparently it has some type of a different mashmois to it. It means some type. And the Shulchan Aruch talks about Pashtida. I think they use it, the Israelis use it, I think, to describe some type of kugel. That's what it's used for. But in the initial sources, when the Rama talked about Pashtid, he wasn't talking about Kugel. What the Rama was talking about, the closest we have is probably a Bereka. Except what was inside this Bereka was either meat, fish, or cheese. So there, that's in Kuf Samaches Sif Yud Zayin, there the Shulchan Aruch says, you make a Maitzi on it. So now is the Chashayla. Why do I make a mitzvah? We just said in Kup Samaches Siv Zayin that possible bekisnin is a mezainus. So this is vital possible bekisnin. What's the difference? So the general view in Achrayim is the following. It really goes harks back to Rabbi Akiva Eger's Lomdus. That what's the point of possible bekisnin? That it's oriented as a snack food. It's not a meal food. So he said, the Kuf Samaches Siv Zayin, we're talking about, you have a cherry pie. You know, if you get invited for dinner, and the Balavosta gives the husband the rib steak, and you a piece of cherry pie, you're not going to be too happy. You know, where's the beef? This is the end of the meal. This is nice, it's a throw-in, but where's the meal? So that's the aside at one. The pie, though, when we make a bracha on a pie, it's because a pie is for a snack. But if you take a bereka and you fill it up with meat, cheese, or fish, that's a main dish. That's oriented to people eat that for a meal. So therefore, you make the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem and Aretz on it. You don't make the bracha of Baramin and Mezainis, even though in physical structure they're similar. But the what's behind the eating is a totally different dimension.
Can you decide whether you want to eat a meal or a snack? Or it's what it actually is. For example, when I eat pizza.
Well, we'll come to pizza. We'll come to pizza. One. That's the next one down the one. That's the next one down there down the pike.
Well, can I decide it's just a snack? Myself, it's a snack.
Hey, listen, we can tell ourselves all types of things.
Right.
The din in Sefer Zayin is specifically meat, fish, and cheese?
That's what it's talking about there, yeah. Now, so pizza is a very interesting food. The halacha is immutable, but social mores change. And, you know, what can I tell you? There's a few other guys in this room that are in my age category. So in my age category, you can remember New York when there weren't kosher pizza places. Now, you know, if you're a neighbor that doesn't have 5 kosher pizza places, you're not even, you know, you're kosher that you probably, you know, who knows what type of minion you have, you know. But, you know, I lived in New York before there were kosher pizza places. And then, circa 1960 about, there were about 4 kosher pizza places in New York. I don't know, I know 2 of them. I don't know, remember what the other ones were. There was one in Williamsburg, and there's one on Pitkin Avenue in Brownsville, Levy's Kosher Pizza. It was a few blocks from Chaim Berlin. And there were, I think, 1 or 2 more. I think about 2 more in the whole city of New York at that time. So we used to go to the pizza place Friday after yeshiva, and pizza was, it was a snack food. It was a different type of chocolate bar, nothing more than that. I remember you came home from the pizza place, so you'd sit down and eat lunch when I came home. I didn't think that I ate lunch already. You know, I had a chocolate bar on the way home. Come home, remember, I could see it in my mind's eye. I remember one Friday I came home with my brothers and we had as a bread and tuna fish, you know, we were eating lunch. We'd eat lunch. We get home Friday. So it was a snack food without any doubt. So at that time there was a very famous machlokes between two Goyne Olam, which reverberates Arayim Azeh. And these two Goyne Olam were Avraham Soloveitchik Zecher Tzadik Livracha and Rav Moshe Feinstein Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So Rav Aaron Zatzal Paskin that two pieces is Kriya Suda. You have to make a Moitzi on two. Rav Moshe held the three pieces is Kriya Suda. So there were two Minhagim Norfolks in the city of New York, depending which, you know, one you followed. You know, the guys that were up in YUO followed, you know, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik because he was a Ramner. And many others followed him, whatever. And these two shitas were Norfolks for many, many years. This is well known in New York that this is the, you know, this machlekes existed, this was the Torah, this was a well known fact in the city of New York. And was very, very to the point. Hello, what happened next? Somewhere along the way, in the 90s probably, something like that. The mores changed, the social mores changed. Now, in every yeshiva, in every camp, pizza served as the lunch one day a week. That's lunch. So now it was no longer a snack food, now it became a mainstay, a main dish. So when this happened, I could, my personal conclusion has been that pizza migrated from Sifur Zion to Sifur Yud Zion. It used to be a snack food, so you made a mezonos on it, but now it became a main dish. So it's like the pashtid of Sifur Yud Zion. So you have to wash, make a moitzi, and bench on it. So I still, one chiddush I kept, and as I said, the first part, I don't think there's basis to argue with me. And Ad Kedei Kach, what happened, I came home one year from the country, many, I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, something like that. I come home from the country, and the first morning, I come back usually Sunday night, Monday morning, I'm in the house, the phone rings, the chavar of mine is a menal in a big elementary yeshiva out of town. So he calls me up, he says, tell me, he says, what bracha do you hold, you make on pizza? Pizza? Hamaitzi. Not the answer he wanted to hear. He went, what happened? Why did he call me? Over the summer, apparently, he went to a shir. There's a choshev rosh kollel in his city, a real bal halacha. And he paskin that you have to make a moitzi on pizza nowadays. Now, this is a menal's nightmare. The last thing you need is to try to get 300 kids to do the tilas yadayim. This is not what you want to have to worry about in school. So what he wanted more than anything else is to hear the brachos mezonos and the kids don't have to wash, and he would have been sameach. But I wasn't besameach. Now, but I did hold, I'm still a holdout on one point, and I said, if you want to argue with me, argue with me on this side. On the first side, I'm solid. The second side, I'm controversial, I agree. I want to tell you now that pizza is still sometimes used by people as a snack food. And Ramayla, if you eat it in a context which is clearly a snack, a small amount of it, and depending on what your age is, determines what's a small amount, so you can still make mezonos on it. You don't necessarily, it's not like eating a small piece of bread. So if my kids get pizza in the house, I'll cut off a little snippet, and I make a mezonos just to have a taste, you know. I mean, I rarely eat it during the year, a little bit, but I'm in camp, yeshiva didn't eat it either, in camp sometimes I eat it. But during the year, I basically don't eat it. But if the kids have, I take a little snip just for the taste. Then it's clearly a snack. It's not a meal. Now, it depends really on what age you're at. If you're 15 years old, you know, a piece of pizza could be a snack. If you're our age, my age, a slice of pizza is not a snack anymore. You know?
It also depends on the context of that slice, right? 50-year-old sat down.
To eat it for lunch, it's clearly a meal. You know, if he's running around with his friends Motzei Shabbos and they stop to get a slice of pizza at a time that other than that they wouldn't even think of eating, you know, so it's clearly a snack.
Does cheeseless pizza fall under a recipient diet?
What?
Cheese? Not with meanings of that, because there's cheese on it.
What else is there? You mean the sauce?
Shit sauce, yeah. I mean, they have such a thing. People who are lactose, and like people would eat that.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's the Dafka, the cheese factor.
The cheese certainly is the key factor. If we're without it, I'm not convinced. Yeah?
To go back to the pashtita, that would mean a potato burrata or like a spinach knish. This is no cheese or fish or meat.
You know, it depends how people use it in society. If in society it would become a meal. You know, in Russia, Lamarshal, potatoes were it. Potatoes were king. This was what people lived on. It's potatoes, more than anything else. So, potato burek, in that context would be a meal. You know.
But for us, not so.
It depends. I tell people, I think if they have two nice sized knishes, that they should wash on it already. You know, that's the way I see it. You know, people live to have I have a Chassidish friend. His father's a Yid that's past 90 years old today. He's a survivor of the Holocaust. He was 16 years old. He ran away to Siberia with his parents. So he says, how did they survive? He said, potatoes in Siberia, as many as you want. They're all over the place and they're hefka. They're not even cultivated. All you have to do is go dig them out of the ground and load them up. He said he spent the whole summer digging potatoes and filling up sacks. He was a young, strong guy and schlepping them home. He says, unless that he did that. He says, the whole winter, that's the only thing there was to eat, was those potatoes. There was nothing else to eat. You know, so it depends. Context is also society. You know, how we eat, what we eat, what's, you know. The Chayodom gave a psak that potatoes are kidneys. And it did not go down too well in Eastern Europe, this psak. But half of the line was that potatoes are chayyadu.
Is the tzad, if there is a tzad, to make hamotzi, let's say, to make mizonos on, let's say, those, you know, big hot pretzels or like a butter croissant? Is there a tzad even to...
Hot pretzels, I certainly don't hear it.
It's
mamash a piece of bread with salt on it. That's all.
And the croissants also that are not.
I think so. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi, Adkan for today.